And by the way, Peter, I'm realizing I said, can you imagine a president retweeting that a popular person is a bimbo? That's how it came up. I should have said, can you imagine a president retweeting that anyone is a bimbo?
Point taken.
Thank you.
Well, it didn't blow up on social media last night, but former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee did bring up the issue of military spending at the debate. He said funding cuts were dangerous.
We're flying B-52s. The most recent one that was put in service was November of 1962. A lot of the B-52s we're flying, we've only got 44 that are in service, combat ready. And the fact is, most of them are older than me. And that's pretty scary.
Stephen Biddle is a professor of political science at George Washington University. And Stephen, what do you make of Mike Huckabee there, his comments on B-52s?
Well, they're certainly old airplanes. The question is whether being old is being obsolete. Many of us are getting older. I'm not sure we're all obsolete. And the question here really is, what do you want the B-52 to do?
Right.
And for a lot of what B-52s do for the U.S. Air Force at the moment, it's not clear that you really need a cutting-edge, highly stealthy, and very expensive airplane to do this kind of job.
Well, what do they do? Because when I think of that aircraft, I think of old war footage.
Yeah, the B-52 these days is used mostly as kind of an aerial truck. It's got a large payload. It's got a long range. And you can use that combination of large payload and long range to loiter over a combat zone. As long as the airspace is benign, you're dealing with ISIL or other people on the ground who don't have a significant air defense threat, then an airplane like the B-52 isn't a particularly bad choice for carrying precision weapons from a base somewhere that the U.S. controls to a target somewhere that you want to deliver a weapon to.
But as Mike Huckabee said, they are getting older. How long can these planes last?
Well, it's important to recognize that these are not literally the same airplanes that rolled out of the factory floor in the 1960s. They've been modernized and updated a lot. So given that they're periodically updated and modernized, the Air Force thinks that they can stay flying for quite a while longer, a couple more decades, perhaps.
What is the state, generally speaking, of military equipment in the United States military?
Yeah, the average age of equipment in most of the American military, and especially the Air Force and the Navy, is going up. And that's not so surprising. We've been waging large-scale ground wars of a counterinsurgency nature in Iraq and Afghanistan for 14 years now. And that has tended to frustrate especially Air Force officers, but also Navy officers, with the degree to which, in their view, resources have been funneled away from modernizing airplanes and ships and toward paying lots and lots of soldiers to go wage counterinsurgency on the ground and equip them. Hmm. The net result of that is that although we continue to modernize airplanes and we continue to build ships, on average, the age of the fleet in the air and the fleet on the surface and underneath the sea has tended to go up. Whether this is a problem or not depends much more heavily on what kind of conflicts you think we're going to be engaged in soon and what your larger plan is for modernizing the U.S. military over time, over the course of perhaps the next couple of decades.
As we go forward with this presidential election, how much of an issue do you think this should be for the candidates?
Well, I think the question of how much ought we to be spending on defense and what kind of war should the Defense Department be told to prepare for is a pretty important question for the public. If we make the wrong kind of decision about what war to prepare for, lots of Americans could get killed, lots of important foreign policy objectives could be sacrificed, and lots of non-Americans in war zones around the world could lose their lives in ways that they wouldn't have to.
Stephen Biddle is professor of political science at George Washington University and a senior fellow for defense policy at the Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.